Professor Grunsplatter's Spookatorium. I am your curator, Professor Grunsplatter. Beyond these doors crouch the wonders, horrors, and wry smiles of an uncanny world. This world, your world. Should you choose to come inside, the sounds and stories that the shadows tell will be yours to behold. Make no mistake, it is a place of questions, not answers. A place where the tickle in your belly or the twitch in your eye simply mean you're paying attention. But then if you weren't curious, you wouldn't be here. There'll be no refunds once you enter. Thank you for your attention, and the brave ones, come with me. Greetings, welcome to episode 74 of the Spookatorium. The show today opened with Hordes of Satan. That one was given to me by a friend a while back, but it didn't seem to be available anywhere, so I waited to play it. My copy was a CDR that came with a couple of really nicely designed chapbooks, and it looks like the band has actually made CDs available now and are on Bandcamp. I'm not sure if the booklet contents are part of that or not. Following that was The Mind Parasites with Ib, and that I don't think is available anywhere. Back in the late 90s or early 2000s, the guy from Mind Parasites used to send me releases, I think probably for a review in Worm Gear, the magazine that I was part of back then, and they usually just had hand-drawn covers, etc. Looking at Discogs, there are two releases there, but I have at least four that he sent me, and that was from one of the ones that isn't listed, which is why there's no cover on the video version. But there was always something I liked about that project and its lo-fi, strange dirges. If you are subscribed to the podcast feed, there was a bonus episode that came out on the 4th of July. I didn't put a video for it on YouTube. Barely anyone listens to the show via YouTube, so I expect if you're hearing this, you probably saw that show pop up in your feed. It's not a typical show. It's a lot of punk and crust that I thought the listeners in America in particular might appreciate as they try and pass the kidney stone that is our current events. Those of you in the UK, congrats for taking out the bins, so they say. It was also a reminder of how much less tedious doing this is when I don't do the YouTube component. That doesn't get much traction, but it's a rare place that I get any feedback, so we'll see what the future holds for that. I think the service I use for the podcast can post to YouTube, but it wouldn't have any of the album covers and things it does now. It doesn't seem like most people that play it on YouTube listen to it for more than a couple of minutes. Coming up in a bit, I'm going to take a small peek into a more holistic view of the UFO phenomenon. If this is something you are into, there are people better than me to talk about it, but this perspective comes from one of the leading researchers, and it feels to me that it gets overlooked in favor of case reports and conspiracies. First, though, this is Hedon with Damar.
happens all the time, man. They're falling out of the skies like flies. Government knows all about it, right, Mac?
You believe any of this voodoo bullshit, Blair?
Child, chariots the gods, man. They practically own South America. I mean, they taught the Incas everything they know.
So come on, Amatrice. Norwegians get hold of this, and they dig it up out of the ice.
They dig it up, they cart it back. It gets thawed out, wakes up. Probably not the best of moves. I don't know what I'm saying.
Disrespectful man that's tossing his dirty drawing to get the cash. Huh? But now I want my kitchen clean, all right? Care free.
Now, how's this motherfucker wake up at 1,000 feet?
something wrong with Blair. He's locked himself in his room and he won't answer the door. So I took one of his notebooks and laughed.
Thank you. That was MSBR with Blazin' Y Sharp with the track Flax Back Spit from their 1998 collaboration Mass for Dead Insects. Before that was Negru Voda with Tribe of Cannibals, and that set opened with Hedon and the track Damar. I don't have an appropriate bumper for this, so I'm just going to get into it. As far as the supernatural, paranormal, whatever you want to call it, UFOs are probably the least interesting to me. I can't say why that is exactly. I think it's arrogant to assume we are alone in the universe, so why not? The way that it is often talked about feels like it's focused on the sparkle rather than the substance, and I guess that bothers me a little bit. But Jacques Vallée is widely considered to be one of the most forward-thinking and astute researchers, and at least in my limited engagement with the subject, it seems to me that people are eager to hold up his wealth of documented sightings, but then revert to their own more traditional interpretations of what those sightings might mean, whereas Vallée has a more metaphysical, for lack of a better word, view of the experiences, and so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And this quote from Vallée's book Passport to Magonia will sort of set the stage. Quote, "The theory that flying saucers are material objects from outer space manned by a race originating on some other planet is not a complete answer. However strong the current belief in saucers from space, it cannot be stronger than the Celtic faith in the elves and the fairies, or the medieval belief in the Lutens, or the fear throughout the Christian lands in the first centuries of our era of demons and satyrs and fauns. Certainly it cannot be stronger than the faith that inspired the writers of the Bible, a faith rooted in a daily experiences with angelic visitation." Unquote. I have talked about this before, that the context often defines an unexplained experience. If you see a light in a forest, it might be the fae. If you see it in a house, it might be a ghost, and if you see it in the sky, it might be a UFO. A disembodied voice in a decaying building will be perceived differently than someone hearing a disembodied voice while they are riding public transit. Is what is happening different in each of those cases, or are they perceived differently solely based on the context? Vallée illustrates a lot of parallels from history that mirror many modern UFO reports, which I won't get into, but suffice to say they are ample, and if you are interested in this at all, Passport to Magonia is a great book. He points out, going back to 1691, a Scottish professor of theology, Reverend Kirk, wrote a book called The Secret Commonwealth of Elves, Fauns and Fairies, and the philosophy behind this book was, quote, "Nothing dies. All things evolve cyclically in such a way that every cycle they are renewed and improved. Motion is the universal law. Sooner than we think," he says, "the relations with the aerial beings will be as natural to us as, say, microscopy or the printing press, navigation, all things that caused considerable surprise when they were first introduced." Unquote. Bernard Kastrup, whose research is more broadly in the realms of the unexplained than simply UFOs, points out in his book The Meaning and Absurdity, quote, "A key witness seems to suggest something far more profound than such provincial explanations." And then this is a quote from the witness. "From beginning to end, the 19 to 20 minutes that I have viewed that craft was also a time of self-examination of myself and who I was." Unquote. Some witnesses report a feeling that the strange light formation was somehow attempting to communicate with them. Moreover, some stories go beyond mere noncompliance to the known laws of physics. They defy something much more fundamental, logic itself. Unquote. Kastrup leans on Jungian theories of projection and the unconscious. He looks at Patrick Harper and his thoughts on the imaginal realm, and several other researchers, but makes the observation that when unexplained experiences, which he calls the calls of the absurd, manifest, they, quote, "have a puzzling tendency to induce introspection and trigger intuitive insights." unquote. Kastrup references Vallée's work in The Invisible College, which is a book that I haven't read from Vallée, where Vallée breaks down experiences into six segments. Quote, a physical layer, an anti-physical layer, capturing the aspects of the phenomenon that contradict currently understood physics, a socio-psychological layer, a physiological layer, capturing observed alterations of the witness's bodily functions, a psychic layer in the parapsychological sense, and a cultural layer, unquote. And this, ultimately, is what I wanted to leave you with. Vallée's conclusions, as summarized by Kastrup, were, quote, the right question to ask was not where the UFOs came from, but what effect they were causing. The calls of the absurd are leading to a shift in human consciousness and our conception of reality.
Thank you. smells bad and I find him repulsive. But then he tells me that everything is erotic, that everything is sexual. You know what I mean? He tells me that even old flesh is erotic flesh. That disease is the love of two alien kinds of creatures for each other. That even dying is an act of eroticism. That talking is sexual. That breathing is sexual. That even to physically exist is sexual. And I believe him. And we make love.
That was Bloodbox with Mother of Dust. Before that was Vril with Sedona. And that set open with R.L. Huber and Underneath. And that was from someone who listens to the show and sent me a code for their release Memories of Falling on Bandcamp. And it's really nicely done, organic, dark ambient, electroacoustic soundscapes, as you heard there. Thanks very much for that, Ryan, and if you listeners liked it, you can find it on Bandcamp under R.L. Huber, H-U-B-E-R. This track is from Bloodletter. This is called The Maze. The Spookatorium exists to showcase music and ideas. I am not an expert at anything, and I have no agenda beyond fostering curiosity. The show is not monetized on any platform. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and others. A video version is available on the Cryonic Mind YouTube page. If you can like, subscribe, comment, etc., it helps the show's visibility. If your music was featured here and you'd prefer it was not, let me know and I will remove it from the feed. You can reach the show at spookatorium@gmail.com. The website can be found at spookatorium.org, and your comments are always welcome. Thanks very much for spending some time here. That was Bjorn with Fjolin Blah from their self-titled EP. Before that was Den Hui with Darkest Forest, and that set opened with Bloodletter and the track The Maze. I think that is going to do it for this episode. Something I have noticed this summer that was also true last summer is that listenership seems to crater when it gets nice out. Last August, it was dramatic, and it seems it's already started this year. So I may take a short break in August. We'll see. To lock the gate this week, this is Chris Conley with July. Thank you, as always, for listening. I do appreciate it. Until next time.